Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
From the corner, Berry. Rick Berry has not missed a free throw against Washington. Now it is Berry. Back to Clifford Ray. Goes to Rick Berry.
Golden State getting that ball moving. Intended for Berry. Berry, look at that pass. Rick Berry, look at that shot, would you?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Berry wants to make a move. There's Berry. He's got his shot.
Everybody, Rick Berry here. Yeah, it's been a long time. I hope everybody is good. A lot of things have transpired since the last time we've had an opportunity to talk to you about the NBA and basketball in general, and my Golden State Warriors. Of course, we won't be talking much about them at this juncture, but we'll probably get into something about them. But I'm excited because tomorrow is the first game in the Big Three for my Ball Hogs team. I got a new club. We could talk a little about that. But I think we have to talk about what's going on in the NBA Finals. Dallas was kind of embarrassing themselves by the way that they played a couple of the games compared to the way they played prior against Minnesota. And give credit to Boston for what they did. I mean, they've stepped the game up. I think that Jason was playing unbelievable and Brown. And, I mean, it was just a hell of a game on their part earlier in the series. But, man, I mean, you think a team wanted to say, well, let's just win back home or something. It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to be embarrassed. That was an embarrassing performance by Boston. And give credit to Dallas, though. I mean, they didn't want to be embarrassed and get swept. It's very difficult to do. But here's the point. In fact, I was talking to some of my team today on our way back from practice. And I think these guys, they don't understand how great it would have been for them to win the series on the road. And the reason being is that when you're at home, you'll have so much distraction, all your friends, your family, everybody else. Our championship in 75, when we won, it was so special because we did it on the road. And afterwards, we were just all together, just our team, which you're like a family anyway. And you get to celebrate this amazing accomplishment together without all the outside distractions and then have a trip, back home together. And then when you get there, they'll have crowds waiting for us. They had to reroute us to Oakland because there were so many people at the San Francisco airport. And then they took all the people and they got them over to some place off to the side of the airport, whatever. And then we landed in Oakland and took taxi cabs to come over. And then all of the people who were there, some of the crazy fans, started jumping on the cabs and on the roof. The roof of my cab was caving in. It was just crazy. But it would have been – it's such a special thing, and it's just not the same when you do it at home. I mean, sure, you want to win. It's great. But I'm just telling you, they missed out on a wonderful opportunity. Now, it could happen. They'll have another chance to do it because you gave this team life. Now they realize what they can do. They're playing with so much more confidence. They're going to try to be the first team ever to accomplish what's never been accomplished, which is to win a championship series down 3-0.
Oh, yeah.
So if pull off that game somehow in Boston, man, now the next game becomes really interesting. So, and that would give Boston a chance to redeem themselves for screwing around and losing the game here with a 3-0 lead and then blowing a game in Boston, and they have a chance to then redeem themselves. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out. One of the things, one of my good friends for over 50 years, his name's Jack Ban, who I met when I was playing in the ABA when they had the team in New Orleans in the ABA and the New Orleans Buccaneers they were back in then. And so I've known Jack for 50 years, and he's a big basketball fan. And he texted me the game. He said, "Damn, Luca, shit, he pushes off all the time when he drives, like 9 times out of 10. He should be fouling out of the damn game all the time." And you know what? It's a pretty good point. I mean, he really does use that arm to separate and get some space. And it's amazing sometimes what officials, you know, let go. And even talking with my guys here, the same thing about the traveling and the carrying the ball. I mean, it's, you know, the moving screens. It's very difficult sometimes for me to watch what the officials allow the players to do. And as a player, I can't even imagine how frustrating it must be, especially let's say you're a guy guarding Luka and you're doing a great job and he gives you the forearm shiv. And next thing you know, he's making a little fadeaway jump shot and no foul is being called. Mm-hmm. So, and then the same thing when you're guarding somebody and the guy takes the ball from the far right side, goes to the left side and carries it and flips it over there with no carry being called. So there's so many things that go on in the game that are very frustrating to me. So anyway, that's my rant to start the show off. I get that out of the way. What did you think of the game tonight?
Same opinion as the entire series. I didn't take it seriously. I think Boston has this in the bag. As you know, Rick, closeout games aren't easy. You know, and Dallas got their way. This reminded me of game four in the Mavericks Timberwolves series. Minnesota got their win. And I think they're going to close it out. A gentleman sweep, as they call it. Do you like that nickname for series that are 1-5 games? A gentleman sweep?
I think it's I don't know. I'd have to come up with another name. It just popped into my head right away. Gentleman sweep?
Yeah, that's what they call it, yeah.
No, it's not. It's what it is a lack of freaking focus on the part of the team. That has rarely been done. I mean, it just hasn't been done very often in the history of the sport. And so you have something really special to accomplish by doing that. And as I say, they don't really understand. I mean, I speak this way because I experienced it. It's just so dang special when you get to do it and be together as a team for what you've gone through the entire
time
to make this great accomplishment and reach the goal that you set for yourself, and then just to be able to be us together doing it, and then celebrate when you go back home. So you get a double celebration out of it.
Isn't it weird to you that no team has ever swept the conference finals and the NBA finals in the same postseason? That's weird. I didn't know
that stat. Is that true?
Yeah. But Boston was going to be the first team ever to pull it off if they had won tonight, and they didn't. That was a weird stat to me.
There's another reason to put yourself in the freaking history books and the record.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Done. And I don't know if that was something brought up and discussed. Guys, we got some if I was a coach and I knew that, obviously I don't know it. I mean, but if I knew it, that's the thing I would have brought up to the guys. Guys, we got something really special to do. And then if you knew about it, to talk to them. I mean, in my case, I would, guys, let me tell you, winning on the road, this is the way to go, guys. And tell them all, this is so, we could have such an incredible, we'll have the double celebration. It's going to be us. Come on, we need to go ahead. They're going to come out with everything we got. Let's meet their intention. Get them really ready to go. See, you know, just make them know how great it would be to win this game. I don't really know if that was something that was said to them. I have no idea what went on in the locker room. But anyway. You gave a team life. They still have total control, as you said. I agree with you. It'd be a shock. Dallas is able to pull it off. But, you know, let's see. I mean, this becomes the most important game of the season, obviously, for both teams. And more important for Dallas, of course, because otherwise they're done. But if they pull it off, now it gets really interesting. It does get very interesting. And I hope they do it. I really do.
I do too. I do too.
Off because then, I mean, I'd be looking forward to watching game six. That would be really interesting to see.
It would be absolutely right. And last year, Boston almost became the first team ever to come back being down 3-0. I don't know if you remember that series, Rick, with Miami, where they were down 3-0, tied at 3-3, and then lost game seven at home. They've been in this situation before on the other side. But, it's interesting. It is interesting.
See what happened. We just saw what happened with Denver.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Was lose your first two at home and then bust your hump and get back to have a game seven at home and then have what I think probably was the biggest comeback ever in the history of a finals, of conference final, to be up that many points at home in a game seven and lose. I mean, and not lose on some last second shot. I mean, to lose. That was unbelievable.
And bringing up the road teams winning, the recent Warriors, three of the four titles, if I'm not mistaken, were also won on the road as well. Boston, Cleveland, twice Yeah, so 3 of 4. We're on the road. Yeah. Just a random tidbit for you there.
I tell people that I would never bet a nickel, a penny, on an NBA game. I mean, this is the motto I live by, but always expect the unexpected.
Good motto.
You always have to play the game. That's why you play the game, right? If all these prognosticators and all these people who take all this stuff, I mean, that's crazy. Like, you guys was there talking, one of my teammates, my team members, Dwan Summers, he was saying, I just don't understand. How do these guys who are doing, you know, it's a 6-point, you know, they're a 6-point favorite. How do they figure that out? How do they, 6-point favorite, -6, +6, these guys do all the odds makers. I'd like to see a stat on that. How often are they correct?
Very, very regularly. I mean, the folks setting those actual lines, most of them are PhDs in statistics, and they're basing it entirely not so much on the teams, but on how fans feel about those teams. I mean, I know you know this, but for those out there who aren't familiar, it's all about what they think the fans feel, and they want to set a number where both sides are betting it equally. That's their goal, because then they'll come out on top. So that's what they base the lines on. It is fascinating stuff. You're absolutely right.
It's crazy. I mean, what a time frame. You know, David Stern's probably rolling over at his.
You're right. It's crazy how much the world has changed, Rick. Sports gambling used to be frowned upon, blatantly illegal. I mean, there was full on hundreds of millions of dollars in resources spent to combat it, and now we're embracing it as.
Yeah, for God's sake, every time you turn around, there's something about betting.
It's crazy. It is absolutely insane. No doubt about that. Rick, real fast before we get to the folks who have left us very kindly voice memos and recordings for this show, your thoughts on the passing of Jerry West? I know you were close with him. This impacted you probably more so than the vast majority of other folks out there. I figure it set you up for this. What were your thoughts on losing your close friend?
Get that out of the way. I didn't want to bring it up first to come and be a big downer in doing it. But you know, anytime you lose, you know, family, friends, it's never an easy thing. And I was very friendly with Jerry West. I had the good fortune of getting to know him and become a friend. My first thing is our first exhibition season for me as a rookie, it was with the Lakers, where we traveled around and played the Lakers in a bunch of games. It's totally different than what it is now. And, you know, we had like, months of stuff and playing crazy numbers of games. It's not like now you go to a training camp for 3 days and they're playing exhibition games. And so it was very special. And Jerry was very helpful to me and some of the things he told me and things to expect and, you know, what's going to happen. And I really was very appreciative of that. And then, as I say, we got to be friends. He actually invited me. I played in the member guest golf tournament at the Bel Air Country Club in L.A., the Swinging Bridge tournament. And we always were so upset because we lost to a freaking singer and an actor. Okay, I mean Jack Ging and both of them are singers, and Howard Keel, who played in Howard Keel was in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and they freaking beat us by like one shot in the 10th hole at that country club. It's a long par 3 over Valley where the bridge is, and that's how they got the Swinging Bridge thing. And we just butchered that freaking 10th hole that cost us the tournament. So we were really upset with that. But I've had a lot of really great talks with Jerry over the years. In fact, someone that you people can relate to, obviously one of the great Warriors players, even for a short period of time, Kevin Durant, one of the great players in the history of the game. We both were sitting watching him play. We were courtside in a college game when he was at Texas, and we looked at him and said, "Oh my God, is this guy going to be a hell of a pro?" We saw it in him right there. And that's the one thing we've talked a lot about, that Jerry and I were kind of on the same page when it came to looking at players and what you're looking for. And I think to me, I know why he was so successful, because he saw that, and he had guts, even though somebody wasn't projected to be a top 10 pick or a lottery pick. You know, he was willing to take somebody if he had a shot at that guy, even though it wasn't the thing to do, you know. Right. Wasn't projected to be in that set. And that's what helped him, because he got a lot of great players as a result of that. And then, you know, I won't divulge the stuff, but the stories he told me about, you know, what he had to go through to get Shaq to go to LA. And I mean, some really interesting stuff that I heard from him. And so I have a lot of fond memories, with Jerry. And it was said, now I knew that he had health issues the last time, but I didn't realize it was as severe as it was. In fact, he was private in that regard, didn't want people to know, but he was in ICU for 3 weeks. And then he got released, and he was only home a few days before he passed away. In fact, I talked to a good friend of mine, a former teammate, Warrior, Keith Erickson from UCLA, who actually has spoken to him, you know, pretty close before he passed. And, you know, Jerry, I guess, had an issue with when he had heart surgery at, you know, famous hospital and all that. It didn't go well, and had all kinds of problems and stuff. And I guess he then got infections. And so it wasn't like it was something where he didn't suffer and all. I mean, he went through some horrible, difficult times for quite a while. And you never want to see that with anybody. I mean, I ask God, please, if I'm going to go, just let me die in my sleep or something. Just don't let it be some ongoing ordeal. Difficult on family and friends and everything else. And so that was a tough one. And then, of course, another player that we lost that was a great friend of mine as well was Bill Walton, who we got to be very friendly, you know, and did an unbelievable bike trip from Sausalito to San Diego, raising money for the Challenged Athlete Foundation out of San Diego. And Bill was a big avid bike rider because with his ankles having fused, that's how he could get some exercise. And he just rode just crazy. I mean, hell, we'd ride 100 and something miles, get someplace, and Bill would go and ride some more. I mean, he's great, you know, really good guy. I really enjoyed getting to meet him. Big disappointment. He tried like heck to get ESPN to let us work together on a game doing something. And they never went for it to let me do play-by-play and work with him as a color analyst.
Oh,
would have been really, really fun because
it would.
Because I told him, I said, well, Bill, if you do that, I said, that would be unbelievably a lot of fun. I said, but just be aware that if yes, I'm going to call you on some of the bullshit that you talk about sometimes. And he'd start laughing all the time because, I mean, he was so verbose. I mean, here's the thing about Bill. I joke with him all the time. We had a great time. I'll tell you a couple of Bill stories.
Please.
So as I said, he was very verbose and just go on and on about things. I said, Bill, you do realize, don't you, that there are a lot of people out there who wish you never got over your stuttering problem.
I'm sure he laughed at that. I know that's funny.
Because those people who don't know, Bill had a very difficult time. He was a stutterer. I mean, very difficult time ever to be able to talk and communicate and stuff. And then, again, I'm not going to read the divulge stuff, the stories he told me about the Symbionese Liberation Army and the Patty Hearst thing and all the stuff. I mean, interesting stuff. And the one thing I remember about him so much is when I got to play, the time I played with him in the All-Star game in Atlanta. I made my living on the pick and roll play, okay, and you know, had the great Nate Thurman to do it with, and then of course Clifford Ray, my dear friend, like brother, and we run a pick and we come back to the huddle after a timeout. We had run something, and Bill Walton comes up to me to tell me what I needed to do on the pick and roll play. I didn't say anything. I was inside laughing. I say, okay, I admire the fact that you would come up to me and tell me what I need to do on the pick and roll play. He laughed like hell when I told him about that. But yeah, both of those guys, it's very sad. I mean, especially Bill was, you know, a lot younger. Jerry lived a good age, 86 years old, is a nice life for sure. And of course, one of the great players, the greatest two guard in the game until Michael Jordan came along, a guy that played both sides of the court and a guy, and here's my thing, as you've heard me say this many times, Cyrus, a guy that when he put his uniform on, you got everything he had. Mm. Kobe Bryant. Same thing with Kobe. I mean, so sad, but you know, in Kobe's case, I mean, so tragic for him to go the way he did and so early in life. But you know, the same thing, you know, with my two teammates, Derek Dickey and Bill Smith, two great guys in their 40s. I mean, it's just so sad. But Jerry had a good life, and it's sad that he's gone. The same thing with Bill, who was obviously younger. So my prayers go out to their respective families, their wives as well. And we also lost someone else who I wasn't great friends with, but I had great respect for Chet Walker, another Hall of Famer, great, just died recently as well. So within a 2-week period of time, I guess it was, three Hall of Fame basketball players died.
That's crazy. Yeah. I missed that part of the news. I'm sorry. You're right. 6 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway,
84 years old. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm sorry, Rick. That's
had a nice life too. But I mean, God, within such a short period of time, you have three Hall of Fame basketball players are no longer with us. So that's why I thank God every day that, you know, hopefully they stay healthy. I mean, I
hope to do that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, okay. So we got that. Hey, you know what? I'm going to come back. I'm going to be in San Francisco again next month because the board. What happened?
Come on. Well, Brick, you haven't even talked about the big three. That's the huge reason we're doing today's show. We're recording this. Sorry for the dog. We're recording this Friday night. You are coaching the Ball Hogs Saturday, which is for us tomorrow. Most likely people watching this today or whatever. But, yeah, promote away, sir. This is the season opener of the big three where the Warriors used to play in Oakland, the Oakland Arena.
Yeah, yeah, right. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be, you know, a lot of memories, you know, walking into that building, you know, with all the games and it transpired there. And, you know, I remember when we had the big fan gathering to, you know, celebrate the championship, we did that inside the Oakland Arena afterwards. And that was kind of cool. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. And a former Warrior, Leandro Barbosa, is my team captain, who, you know, great guy, really love him. So, you know, he's a little jet lagged because he was over in Spain doing something. So he's getting a good night. Sleep, hopefully ready to go, because he's got to go up another great Warrior player. Jason Richardson is on the other team.
Woo, that's crazy. So yeah. Who's your roster?
Well, I have Leandro Barbosa, and then okay. Played in Kentucky, who actually was one of the best 3-point shooters in the league last year. Dwan Summers, another, you know, 6'8", good, you know, terrific outside shooter, great guy. I mean, I really have good people. And then I have Larry Sanders, you know, 6'11" defensive guy who was some of the championship teams in the big three with a lot of experience.
I remember him in the NBA as well. I mean, these are all pretty much all former NBA guys now, right? Is that what the big three's become?
Yeah, there's a lot. The majority of the guys are former NBA players. Yeah. It's so great. They still have the passion. They still love the game and they keep themselves in shape. You know, Leandro at 41 is still unbelievable. He's maybe not as fast a blur, but he still is, you know, the Brazilian blur. I mean, yeah, he's a special guy and a special person. And then he got a guy, because I had talked to him. I said, Leandro, you can find me some, maybe get a guy from Brazil, like a big guy. We need another big, get a guy. That can, and he found one. I'm serious.
Lucas Mariano, is that who you're talking about?
He's 6'10", 260. And he can move. He can shoot the three. So I'm really, I just had to practice and got to watch him some today. He can shoot it and he can move. It's going to be interesting to see how we work, because I really like that the guys have bought into what I want them to do, because 3x3 is different, okay, than 5-on-5. And 3x3, you really need to really be a great 3x3 player. You got to understand the game and know how to play the game, because it's – and what we try to do, we don't do it. A lot of the other teams, there's a lot of one-on-one stuff and occasionally a two-man game, which they don't run really well. But it's movement, passing. Mm-hmm. Back cutting, understanding the game. And so that's what we're going to try to do, because you're trying to force that defense to have to make multiple decisions, and then you can set them up and you can beat them with back doors and lobs and other things. And it's not a situation where we're going to go and just let a guy go one-on-one and one-on-one who can help. And, you know, you can win doing that too. I mean, obviously. But yeah, it's cool. I like my guys, and we're going to have a tough competition tomorrow against Dr. J's team. And but I love my team and my people who are part of that kind of bought in to have like a sort of like ownership, not total ownership like they're going to do in the big three next year. They've actually sold the LA rights, and they're going to sell rights to other teams in the city. It's going to change a lot next season. But Krause House guys are just a bunch of people who try to get together. They want to try to get a franchise and buy it. So this is kind of a little intro, and they're great. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, my guys, Jonathan, who is there, he does a tremendous job as our kind of the CEO. And then Christian, who does a great job and does a lot of scouting and comes up with some great things. In fact, shit, I mean, if the Warriors are looking for somebody, they should hire this guy. He does an amazing job. I mean, incredible job of getting the scouting reports and doing the things that we need to get done. Really good. And then Joy, she's there doing stuff. And they do a podcast before. We just did a show today. We're going to do it before every game. And I asked Doc if he would come and do it, because I'm coaching against him in that game. It was, I don't even know. I wish I could find out where the heck they're going to be putting it out there on the website, and I would promote it. But I don't know what they're going to wind up doing with. But it was such a fun show with Doc and I doing it, and we had a really great time, because Doc and I are friends, and Yeah, I wish everybody could get a chance to see that. In fact, hell, it'd be tough. I just get a copy of it and run it on my show. It was so good.
Yeah, might as well. Where are the Ball Hogs going to be based next year? Have they determined that? Like the
they don't know for sure what's going to happen. But I'm telling you right now, if they get the people that I know that they've been talking with to actually get and become owners of the team, this is going to become very successful, because I'm talking about some big, I'm not mentioning, you know, can't say a word, but I'm just telling you some very, very impressive potential owners. And if they come on board, yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, this is the seventh year. I mean, nobody ever expected this thing was going to last at all. This is the seventh season. And I'm just thrilled that, you know, that Ice Cube has been nice enough to allow me to have been a part of it. I really enjoy the time, you know. I mean, I'll have Nancy Lieberman, who I brought, they wound up making her a coach. She's been friend forever. You know, the Iceman, we go fishing. We were talking about fishing again today when I saw him, and I'm going to have him on the show. I'll have Nancy on and doing it. So we're going to have some fun stuff doing our shows before. And it's got a chance to do really, really well. And now I have to hope that whoever does come in and buys the Ball Hogs is going to want to still let me coach.
hopefully they're smart enough to do so. And you mentioned, for those unfamiliar, you mentioned Krause House. That's the organization that owns the Ball Hogs, the team that you're coaching.
They don't own it. They become like, well, sort of owner, but it's not like the same as like when the guy's coming in to pay some money to actually have a team and control and put a whole bunch of money in and actually own that team. And so, I'm just happy that they did it. They do a lot of great things. It's fun. They do a lot of promotions. They bring kids to games. It's really cool. And I know Cube is really appreciative of that. And here's the thing is that, you know, somebody's doing, something for me, right now, Alexis Levi, who's done a bunch of things. I'd owned an WNBA team and all. Alexis is really great. And Alexis, whatever, I don't know. She's doing a documentary on me, which is going to come out sometime in next year or whatever.
Hell yeah.
She started interviewing people at all. And she, you know, and so she interviewed Cube and everything. And that Cube said the thing, it's really kind of cool. I mean, I've become friends with Ice Cube. I mean, he's really a good guy. I mean, and, you know, it's crazy. Ice Cube saying, you know, Rick Barry, he's a friend. I mean, you know, so it's kind of cool.
We should get him on the show, Rick.
No, I'll have to get him on some.
And by the way, just to let you, I think that what you were talking about in terms of the show for the Ball Hogs, it's on YouTube. I found something there. If you go to the YouTube channel, Big Three Ball Hogs, there's a clip with you that's called Big Three Draft Gone Wrong, but Maybe Gone Just Right. Is that what you're referring to?
That's the one. Yeah. So they're putting it onto YouTube. So they're getting this show that we just did with Dr. J. So, you know, check it out. It was really fun for Doc and for me to do it. We came up total. It was good. You should check it out too. I think
I will. Absolutely.
You know, now I have to go ahead and do it. I'm going, hell, I'm helping them out. Why don't I get Doc on my show? What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Let's get some. Yeah.
I don't want to pose on him too many times, but Doc is great. And you know, we've done a lot of cool things together. And we talked about a lot of the stuff we did and, you know, our being on the back of the comic book for Spalding basketballs with me shooting a 3-pointer and Doc Duncan and stuff. It was kind of cool. And then our trip to Israel that I got him to come over with me to do a bunch of clinics for Migdal Or, a great Jewish charity that's American Friends of Migdal Or. Unbelievable what they do. And Rabbi Grossman, who runs that thing, he's really, to me, I call the male Mother Teresa. This guy's incredible. The story about him is just unbelievable. It really is. I hope somebody should be doing a documentary about him someday, what he's done. He's a pretty amazing man. It's one of those people, I don't know if you ever had this happen, you meet somebody and you see him, and there's almost like an aura that comes off of him. And you know this man, there's something special about this person. And this is how, they've tried to get him to be the rabbi for the state of Israel, and he's turned them down because he's so committed to taking these Jewish kids from all over the world and bringing them in, you know, and gets foster homes and stuff for them. And then when they get old enough, they come over and they come to Migdal Or and they go there and get their education there before they go off to do their military service, which you have to do when you're a Jewish person in Israel. And it's just amazing. I mean, it really truly is amazing. And I'm actually on the board of Friends of Migdal Or. And so if you are of Jewish descent, and even if not, you want something special. I know people say, yeah, we got to take people here. Yeah, true. But if you are and you want to do something really great for the Jewish community with all the craziness that's going on with the anti-Semitism these days, this would be a great place to go. American Friends of Migdal Or, check them out, because I'm telling you, the money there, they go and they raise tons of money to try to help take care of these kids and change so many lives. And here's an amazing stat. I think, and I don't know, maybe higher, but I think it's 70% or more of the people working at Migdal Or to help the other kids take care of what they need to do are former students who were part of the program, went through it, did their military service and all, and came back to be a part of it. Pretty cool.
It is. Agreed. What do you think, before I don't know, maybe someone will bring it up in the chat, but what are you thinking about Klay Thompson, by the way? Total change of subject. I apologize. I don't know if that's a smooth transition or not, but he unfollowed the Warriors on social media today. Free agency is around the corner. Your thoughts here?
Well, I think he's crazy if he leave. Why would he leave? I mean,
money. I think he wants a lot of money. I think he wants more big payday, and I don't think the Warriors are willing to offer it. I think that's where we're at right now.
Oh, there's so much. How much money do you need to live?
I don't know. I'm with you. All I know is last year they offered him a 2-year, $48 million extension. That's $24 million a year. He considered that a disrespectful offer, and I have no idea where things are now. So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
Hey, Clay, come on. You got enough money. One of the greatest point guards, the greatest shooters in the history of the game. You guys have had so much success together. I would assume that you're good friends, you know, and I think the Warriors are willing to keep you guys together to give it one last shot maybe here and bring in some other people. You're home, you're here. Why do you want to pick up and have to move to go someplace else? You know, you're at the end of an illustrious Hall of Fame career. You're one of the rare players who will have played their entire career in the same franchise. I mean,
yeah.
So many positive things about just staying. It shouldn't be about the money. And heck, if hell, if anything, why would you not say, hey, listen, I'll take less money, use my money to go get someone to win another championship. Now, that would do. Okay, seriously, come on. All right, I'm done.
Do you want to get folks who left? All right, here's M. Miller, Michael Miller. Let's see what you guys say.
Hey, Rick. Michael Miller from Yankees Coast to Coast. As a contemporary of Jerry West, I was wondering what it was like to play against him, if you played directly against him, and if you guarded him as far as his competitive nature and the way that he carried himself on the court and off the court as a real tough competitor. Also, did you have any interaction with him as a college player? Did you guys overlap back then as well?
Well, Jerry's he's older than I am, and so with college, and you know, he was 6 years ahead of me. But just to get to know him, he's absolutely right. We talked a little about it. He was a guy that when he put his uniform on, you give everything you had. He played both court exceptionally well. Great knowledge of the game. One of the great competitors that the game has ever seen. As I said, the best two until Michael Jordan came along. So we did have a chance to play. Got to play together as well in All-Star games, so that was kind of cool. And to be honest with you, I thought, you know, that if they had a chance that the Lakers might have drafted, but when I was in college, the general manager of the Lakers, Lou Mose, came to scout with Senator Mike McCoy. And after it was done, somebody, a writer, well, what do you think about you? What do you think about McCoy? He said, I don't know. I mean, today they probably would address him because he was 7 foot and could shoot outside, and that's all he wanted to really do. So he was way ahead of his time. Like McCoy, he could shoot the hell out of it from distance. And so he said, well, I don't know about him because, you know, he's more outside guy, blah, blah, blah. Said, but I will tell you one thing. Rick Barry is going to be a great pro basketball player one day. And boy, I tell you, that means something to me. I mean, I just, you know, pumped me up to say, wow, okay, great. I mean, so that was a real boost for me to hear that coming from Lou Moles. And I do think that had they had a pick, you know, because, I mean, I don't know if the Warriors actually said Fred Hetzel's name before mine or me because they had the second and third picks. But it was, you know, so it's relatively, you know, it's irrelevant in the scheme of things because they had two picks. So, but if the Lakers, who had a pick much later, if the Lakers, I think, had a chance to have gotten me, I think they would have done that. And so I thought I might have a chance to be a Laker, and then I would have been unbelievable because I would have played with my boy hero, Elgin Baylor, who I got to know, who was a great guy. And instead, Bill was like pinching myself the first time in the exhibition game. I'm guarding my boyhood hero. I mean, come on. Just think about that. You have a boyhood hero in sports. You get to go into the same sport your boyhood hero plays, and you get to freaking play against them.
I'm never gonna know what that's like. The closest thing to that for me is hosting a show with you, Rick. But I will, let me ask this. Jerry West was relatively small for his position. What was he like? How was it defending him?
Well, 6'3" back there was not small. But here's But here's the difference. Jerry West was 6'3". I was 6'7" and a half.
Right.
Right? We put our hands up in the air. The basketball is not height. It's where you reach. Okay? Like there was a 7-footer that played in the league for the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm going to probably draw a blank on his name.
Clint Capella? Or are you talking older days?
Oh, back in the old days.
Oh, okay.
But he was like it was almost like a velociraptor, you know. I mean, or a T-Rex, you know. You had the little short arms, giant thing, but little short arms. Jerry West, when we reached up in the air, reached high. I reached.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it hops or wingspan or both?
Wingspan. How the arms?
Incredible.
But it's not your height. It's your wingspan. Where do you go? Some guys got these ridiculously long arms. Kevin Willis was the guy from the list.
Oh, yeah, he was around like the 80s and 90s. I remember him.
Around for a long time. No, not yeah. No, he was in the 70s too, because I played against
really? Him. Really? Wow, yeah, he was a long time. You're right. He played into his 40s, I think, right? Like,
but my God, he was not a true 7-footer. He was like shorter than that. Whereas Jerry, 6'3", I mean, I'm 6'7" and a half, and he's reaching higher than I reach. So
that's incredible. Incredible.
He was small for a point guard. He was actually pretty, he wasn't tall, but he had these incredible long arms and all. So, yeah, great player. Let's get another.
Yeah, absolutely. Here is Craig from Pleasanton.
Hey, Rick, it's Craig from Pleasanton. I have two questions for you. First, did you ever get to sit down with Jerry and pick his brain or listen to some of his stories? And what did you get out of it? And then number two, you know, Jerry West was loyal to his Lakers, and his backcourt included Gail Goodrich, which they say those two together was some of the best in NBA times. What's your thoughts on that?
Great question.
Stuff that you had asked already. But yes, he and Gail Goodrich were one of the best backcourts in their time. I think Gail was on the team when they went 33 games in a row, one when Wilt was playing. So very special. Yeah, certainly one of the better shooting backcourts. Gail Goodrich is a great shooter as well. Until you got, you know, Steph and Clay, I mean, and some of the other guys that were there. But as far as shooting the basketball, maybe even a little bit better, you know, be right up there with Frazier and Monroe. I mean, as far as, you know, guys that can shoot and score and do things. I mean, so, yeah, they were certainly one of the top backcourt combinations in the history of the league. And I did answer your other concerns earlier.
Just so you know, I went through all the questions. It's a Jerry West type of day, so just be ready for that. Here is Jim Darby.
Hey, Rick, this is Jim Darby. I have a question. You know, unfortunately, Jerry West passed away, and I'm an old guy, so he was certainly, you know, part of the game that I loved watching back in the 60s and 70s when you were playing. And obviously, you played against West. And in your opinion, what made him so good? Obviously, he was a great shot. You know, great player, but was it his speed? Was it his deception? His ability to, you know, foretell a play, or, you know, what made him?
Well, he had a great knowledge of the game. I think most of the players back in the day, you start talking about him and Oscar and all, and I think that's one of the biggest differences, and we've talked about this many times on the show over since we've been doing this for a long time, is that players from that era had a better fundamental understanding of the game of basketball and were taught how to play the game the best way. I mean, fundamentally sound players who really didn't have glaring weaknesses, who understood man-ball relationship, who understood screening off the boards, who understood playing unselfishly, moving. I mean, and Jerry, you know, fit right into that. And plus his competitive nature. I mean, he hated to lose, a great athlete. I mean, he was a great golfer. He was a 2 handicap player in golf.
Wow.
Really. Wow. A great golfer. He, if he, A lot of guys do. If Jerry had decided that he wanted to go and play on the pro golf tour, he could have done that.
Jeez, man. Him, Jordan, Stephen Curry, those are also scratch golf.
Jordan, Michael, unbelievable, great basketball player, but Michael Jordan is not a great golfer. Okay.
Really? Okay. All right. My bad. Okay.
He's not in the class of Jerry West. I mean, Jerry West is a great golfer.
What about Stephen Curry?
Very good doing stuff, but plus two, folks, if you understand golf, plus two is, I mean, you play, you shoot under par.
Well, that's a pro. I mean, when you're a plus two, you have a chance to compete with the best. I mean, yeah.
And he was unbelievable. I still remember we had so much fun, well, other than losing to Jack Ng and Karen, Howard Keel. That'll never go away. Hate losing.
How many years ago was that, Rick?
That was like stupid years ago. I mean,
it still bugs you. I love it. I love your competitive nature. Here's Robbie.
Robbie from the Highlights from Low Life show here. I'm curious, Rick. Jerry West was portrayed pretty unflatteringly in the show Winning Time. What traits in the show were kind of real and relatable to him, and what traits were just way over the top and out of the ordinary? He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy as the way he was portrayed.
You got the nail and hit it right on the head with that, baby. He was so pissed off at that show and the way they portrayed him. And I even talked today, Michael Cooper's one of the coaches here at the Big Three, and I talked, and I've spoken to him about it, and did his, oh man, he said, yeah, that was such an injustice. To so many guys, they made a lot of guys look really bad in that show. It was terrible. In fact, I know for a fact that Jerry hired and paid a bunch of money for one of the best attorneys that he could get to try to, go after these guys for what they did. It was horrible.
Did you watch the show, Rick?
I watched it. It was horrible.
Because I watched it too. I was entertained thoroughly, not so much by the portrayals, but because of the revisiting of this era in the NBA, which was just revolutionary. But I didn't think Jerry West was portrayed necessarily badly. Like, I didn't see it and think, oh, wow, that guy's like a huge prick. I think that's the impression that came off. I just saw him as someone who's competitive and just wanted to win. I don't know, but I could understand Jerry West being very pissed off too.
He never did any of that stuff.
What stuff did he not do? Like, what was inaccurate?
Rowan, the big thing about him when he had the tirade and threw the trophy. I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, I've talked to him about a lot of things over the years and stuff. I've never seen him as upset about anything as he was about the way that they portrayed him in that series.
Fascinating. Okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, they canceled the show, so I'm sure he.
I thought they did a disservice to a lot of the players too.
You were briefly in that show for a moment, but they portrayed you in your Houston days, if I'm not mistaken.
It was absolutely. I just thought they did a real disservice to a lot of the players in that series.
Well, and they canceled it.
Stupid disclaimer at the start of the show.
Yeah, do not trust this. Yeah, it's Hollywood. And again, it got canceled, so maybe that was the karma for it. Here's Caitlin Collier.
Hi, Rick. Caitlin from Las Vegas here. Grew up a fan of yours and was born in Berkeley. Fan of the Golden State in general. Al Attles and Clifford Ray came to my YBA youth practice. Pretty special memories. My question's about Jerry West, and obviously everyone's talking about the impact of his passing. It's just unquantifiable. But mostly, will anyone ever exceed or meet what he did as an executive? Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Incredible success in what he did there. And again, it's his feel and understanding of the game, his recognition of talent that's there to look beyond the athleticism of a player, because it's way more than just being a great athlete. Great athleticism could get gotten a lot of guys into the NBA, but as good as they are, they'll never be as good as they should have been because they don't really understand the game. And how, I think, is the biggest differentiator for great players. Is a natural feel for the game. And that's what I look for when I watch players. Mm. The player have a natural feel to the game. And I saw it in LeBron James when I watched him play in high school. They had him on a high school game. He was on television. And I heard all about it. So I watched it. I said, wow, this guy's, he's got that natural feel. And so that's what you really look for. But you're absolutely right. But just think about Caitlin, who called in. you know, she probably feels really great because she was there herself and everything to see Caitlin Clark, her name out there, what she's doing for basketball and the crazy stuff happening there, and how they're basically being exceptionally physical with Caitlin Clark and to the detriment, I think, of the game. It's sad when they're doing that. If I coach, I would not tolerate my players doing something like that to an opponent. Yes, you want to play hard, you want to do things and everything, but you take a cheap shot, I'll take you out of the damn game. Never mind out of the game. That's bullshit. You just don't do that. I mean, you could hurt somebody when you do some of the things. You know, that's wrong. And because she's been so good for women's basketball, I mean, come on, the arenas are getting sold out, the recognition that she has and doing stuff, and she's a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm.
There's an adjustment. Trust me, there's an adjustment between coming from playing college to going to the pros and she's having to deal with that. But she's still, you know, averaging only 20 points a game. Or, I mean, she's still a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Better. And you know what? I'm impressed by the way she's dealt with it and the way she handles it and the things she says. So, you know, hats off to Caitlin for that. But yeah, Jerry West, one of the top executives that he did, kept the Lakers up at the top because of his willingness to take a player who, as I mentioned earlier, that everybody picked, you know, top, you know, no, this guy's no good. He's going to be, you know, maybe late first round. He'll take him in the lottery if they had a pick or take him earlier. So kudos to him for that. And then he did a great job helping to put the Warriors together.
Yep.
You know, and then he went and helped, you know, he helped the Clippers get some really nice players as well doing that. And yeah, it's pretty cool. And got paid well for it, made more money as a consultant in one season in his entire NBA career. That's how crazy it is. You know, he was making good money with the Warriors, and then Steve Ballmer, you know, just decided to pay him, you know, outrageous amount of money to do it. I think it was made almost $4 million.
Mark Stein reported $4 to $5 million that New York Times article. And the Memphis Grizzlies. People forget he went there for a little bit, and that was a downtrodden franchise. They'd moved over there from Vancouver. Didn't really experience success, and then Jerry West shows up, and like in 1 year they become a playoff team. It's incredible what his impact was. Yeah, but he was. How would you rate his influence in terms of the Warriors dynasty? Like, some people like to give Jerry West more credit than even Bob Myers. What kind of value do you place on Jerry in terms of the Warriors and his time here?
Great value, because he had a lot of input on the players they were doing. In fact, I know for a fact that if it weren't for Jerry West, you know, Klay Thompson would have gotten traded.
For Kevin Love, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
No.
So, do you know who was for that trade and who was against it? Like, was it just Jerry or?
I don't know, but all I know, yeah, Jerry, you know, if you're going to trade Klay Thompson, then what the hell are you having me here? He's going to leave. I mean, that's crazy. You can't do that.
Right.
Thank God. I mean, because you would have never experienced what the Warriors experienced had they made that trade. I mean, I would agree wholeheartedly for that. That would have been just a horrible trade for them.
Uh-huh.
I'm not putting Kevin Love down, who's had a hell of a career and done well, but Kevin Love is not Klay Thompson.
Agreed. 100% agreed. Yeah, that's crazy. And I guess kudos to, you know, management for listening to Jerry West, right? I mean,
well, if you're paying the guy, you know, that kind of money.
Absolutely. Here's Sean from Arizona. I've got a few more here.
Hey, Rick. Sean from Arizona. I'm sure you have a lot of awesome memories about Jerry West in your playing days. I'm wondering, when you guys squared off together back in those days, who got the better of who, and what was the result of many of your matchups? Obviously, you guys were two peers in terms of the best players in the league in those days, so I'm just curious about how those matchups went.
Well, I never, I was glad that I didn't have to. Occasionally, I might have gotten switched off, you know, had to guard him or do whatever. But, you know, he was a point guard and I was a small forward. So, I mean, that's the same thing when people make a big thing about, oh, Magic and Bird. I mean, well, they hardly ever guarded one another.
Right.
You know, it was, you know, the whole different scenario. I mean, when you get two guys in position guarding each other, well, that's interesting. Like, you know, Doc and I had some real good battles and we respected one another. Doc, we guarded each other. I mean, I actually looked forward when we played to guard Doc. I looked at it as a great challenge to try to play him and study his game and, you know, try to make him do things that he might not necessarily want to do. And that's what you do in sports, is you try to exploit the weaknesses of your opponent. And, you know, that's why in basketball, I tell people, you don't want to have any real weakness, because other teams are going to exploit that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter, you're not as good as you are in maybe some other area, but you're not bad. Because if you're bad in some area, they're going to exploit you, and that's what you should do. Like, even when I play pickleball now, right? I played against one guy, one of the top players, he's a Hall of Fame guy doing stuffing, and older guy, and really, really great. He's a heck of a singles player, but wins all the stuff, doubles, and he and his wife, just unbelievable together as a mixed doubles team. And I played against him on the mixed doubles one, and after the game was over, he comes up to me. He says, "Rick, I'm sorry I didn't hit you that many balls, and everything." He says, "But this is an important tournament." I said, "What, Tim? What the hell?" I said, "You want to win, don't you?" I said, "I would have done the same thing to you if I could have." never hit any ball to you, but your wife is really good too. But I sure as hell wasn't hitting to you. So doing sports, and so that's why Jerry didn't have any weaknesses. A lot of players, the great players, don't have any glaring weakness, but they do have some things that they don't do as well, and you have to look for that. And whatever it is, if they're going to beat you, then you make them beat you with what they don't do as well.
Good advice. We got two more. Here's Nick Cohn.
Hey, Rick, what do you consider Jerry West's most impressive achievement to be?
Short and sweet.
Yeah, I think being an elite player a long time and being a team in the playoffs and having a bunch of championships, and had it not been for Boston, Bill Russell, they would have won more, but they still were able to do some very special teams. The 33 games in a row with Wilt Chamberlain and Gale and those guys, and everything was a very special moment in the history of the sport. To be able to play at such a high level for such a long period of time and help his team to achieve great success.
And here's John Rieger.
Rick, John Rieger, Hall of Fame Conversations here. How did that logo come about with the NBA and Jerry West? That's a really interesting story. Maybe you can tell it from your perspective. Thanks.
Yeah, I really don't know the answer to that. How they wound up choosing him for do it, but the silhouette is definitely Jerry West. That's Mr. Logo. I don't know. I don't know what the decision was to do it. I mean, he's certainly one of the great players back in those days. And
what was the logo before him? I honestly don't.
No idea.
I don't either. What are your thoughts on? There's a conversation about possibly replacing the Jerry West silhouette with the Jordan silhouette that we see on Nike. What are your thoughts on possibly the NBA replacing Jerry with Jordan?
I don't know if they would do that because of the fact that it's, Nike has used that so much. I don't know if they would want to do that. I mean, it was like an endorsement for Nike. So I don't know if they would do that. It's kind of interesting. I don't know what they would do. I don't know what the NBA will wind up doing. That's an interesting thing to watch to see what might happen, because you have to be very careful of what they do and how they do it. I know some people out there saying, well, the game has become a black man doing it now and whatever, and do that, and they should have the great black players there and doing it, but I don't know. It's been there, so why? It's what it was. It was at the start. Why you'd have to change it? They did tributes with stuff for other players who were great and did something. So now he's gone. So it's almost like you're going to penalize him because he's dead. And if they're going to do it, I don't think they'll do it right away because of the fact that he just passed away. I don't know. I don't have
the only reasoning I've heard is, and it's and the reason why it's discussed is because I guess the impact and role Jerry West had to the ensuing generation translates to the impact Jordan has and the age gap between his era and a lot of the young people today. That's the conversation I'm hearing, but I always live by the ethos. If it ain't broke, don't, why fix it? So
I will only say that I can't imagine they would ever do that and put Michael there because of Michael's silhouette being such a big part of Nike.
Right. Good point. No, that's a great point. There's one more recording. We've heard from him before, but it's actually something not related to Jerry West. I don't know if you want to finish on that note. Here's, I think, Mike Miller again.
Hey, guys. Michael Miller again. Hey, Rick, as a player who always had high expectations for himself and always very high expectations placed upon him by third parties, I'm curious on what you think the impact of social media has been on the expectations that have been placed upon the players today, especially Jason Tatum, I guess, would be the prime example in the NBA Finals right now. Do you think it's fair? How do you think it can be dealt with? And what did you do to deal with those high expectations?
Well, I can only say that any expectations people had of me probably paled in comparison to what I was trying to do myself. Not expectations. I was demanding myself to go out and do the best that I could do. And I always gave my best effort every time I put my uniform on. I can tell you there was only one quarter of one game that I ever played in my life that I wasn't ready to play mentally. And I was so upset with myself at the end of that quarter for allowing that to happen. And it's a matter of learning how to stay focused, taking great pride in what you do. And here's the thing. The other thing people use a lot with that, and this is what the truth is. What is expected? It's expectation. And it's not pressure. It's not pressure on you to do something. It's high expectations under demanding circumstances. And if you have confidence in your ability to do that, you don't deal with pressure. Okay? Pressure in a basketball game. Okay? I had extreme confidence. People call me arrogant, which is such bullshit. And it's not arrogance. It's surprise, which scares the hell out of people who don't understand it and don't have a lot of confidence in yourself. You look forward to those high expectations. You look forward to those situations where it's being demanded of you to have to go out there and play. And probably the thing that pisses me off more than anything that's happened in my life with stuff that people have said about me is some a-hole out there put a thing out there saying that I quit on my team against freaking Phoenix. That SOB, if I ever saw him in person, I probably would have to restrain myself from wanting to strangle that SOB.
Can you name him? Or you don't want to do that?
What's that?
Who is this person? Or do you not want to name him?
Some guy that did this thing, and it's out there saying that Rick Barry quit on his team. And they're upset because they didn't come to my defense in a fight against Ricky Sobers and stuff. And there's footage out there that's showing.
Yes.
Over. I mean, and that I went in the locker room at halftime and I saw what happened. And then I came out and I quit in the second half. First of all, we didn't have the luxury of being able to look at film in the second half of a game.
Rick, I know Bill Simmons wrote that in his book, which is incredibly unfortunate. I've called Bill out numerous times myself for that. And secondly,
it's an insult to me. It really is. I mean, of all the things said, you know, people have their opinion, they can have it, whatever it is. But that was a freaking insult to me.
Well, that's defamatory. That's defamatory.
Well, I mean, yeah, and that's the whole thing about social media. You know, there's more going to be more of that stuff, and you have to deal with certain things. But to take something to such an extreme, and, you know, it's just like we've talked about Bill Simmons before. Bill Simmons has never really met me, spent any time with him. Doesn't know me at all, okay? And he owes me a freaking apology. He owes me an apology. To call me a dick, I mean, come on, give me a break. I mean, he doesn't even know me. And so anyway, those are the two things that probably upset me more than anything else. I mean, other people can have opinions and say this or that or everything about me, but anybody that knows me knows that's not who I am.
Myself included.
So anyway, folks, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the series. And I hope it goes to a sixth game. I really do.
You know it's not. Rick, you know it's not. It's ending at five. It's over. Rick, if you don't mind, go ahead. Sorry.
I honestly don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know right now. I mean, the game that they played, this game was just, that was horrible.
I would be, you're right, but I would be shocked, completely blown out of my mind if Boston loses game five. I feel it's as certain as a prediction could be that Boston will win game five. Okay, I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be.
Bet on Boston winning.
Bet on Boston. I don't know what the line is, but yeah, I would bet on Boston. And Rick, real fast, I just want to give a plug, if that's okay. I left Locked On a couple weeks ago, and so I'm going to debut my new program on Monday. And Rick, I hope you join me for as many of those shows as you're available for and interested in. It's going to be a daily program called Golden Days. So check it out. Just search Golden Days Warriors. That's how you find the program online. And that is it. It starts Monday. Thank you, sir, for letting me do the shameless plug. And Rick, Big Three, Saturday. Anything you want to mention about that?
No, I'm just excited to see, you know, to still be a part of it. I'm optimistic that my team will go out and perform well. But again, you don't know. Like, I don't know if Boston is going to win. Yeah, they'll be the favorite. There's no question about it that they're going to win. But the thing is what I think that Dallas, with the points, whatever they're going to be, would be able to win on the bet with giving up those points. Who the hell knows? I don't know. I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, because I know I experienced this. You know, I know what it's like to be in a situation where nobody expects anything for you to happen. I mean, the ultimate 180 of what people thought. I mean, the greatest mismatch in the history of the NBA. This is going to be a sweep. I mean, so that's why I'm so excited about can't wait to see a preview of what the hell our documentary is going to be about to show this, that what we accomplished. And so I know what can happen. This is why I wouldn't surprise me if Dallas finds a way to win this game.
I hope they do. I want an interesting series.
Fan to watch games, because I love to watch games that have great importance. Okay.
Yes.
So Dallas responded in an incredible way. Okay. Now, can they find a way to go up and win this game in Boston to really make it interesting? I'm hoping they do, only because I want to see game six.
Same. I'm 100% with you. I just don't think it's going to happen. By the way,
I'm rooting for him in game six, too, because I want to see a game seven.
Boston is favored by 6.5. I just looked that up, by the way. So
6.5. Well,
I would bet that. I would easily. I'm predicting a blowout. I hate that I'm predicting this. I'm predicting what I don't want, but it's going to be a blowout, folks. Over by halftime. That is my call.
All right. Well,
by the way,
those of you out there are betters in seven and saying things. They just Cyrus is saying go ahead. So he means
I am
money. Okay. And all I'm telling you is don't bet your money, because Oh, I don't know. Cyrus doesn't know.
Yes. I don't.
More than likely, Boston may win, but will they win by more than 6 points? I mean, I don't know.
No one knows. You're absolutely right.
Would you have thought that Boston would have lost as embarrassingly as they did in this game?
No.
And would you have predicted when the Denver Nuggets would have lost the first two home games against Minnesota? Hell no.
By the way, the team you're playing tomorrow, Tri-State, so they have Jason Richardson, Kevin Murphy, Amir Johnson, Ray Nixon, and Henry Simms. That's their roster. I think you've got a great shot. Your team got revamped. It's very different from a year ago.
It's their team. That team is 6'6", 6'6", 6'8", 6'9", 6'10".
But look at you. I mean, Leandro Barbosa, yes, he's 6'3", but Duan Summers, 6'8", Lucas Mariano, 6'10".
Yeah,
Larry Sanders, 6'11". You got it, Rick. You got it.
6'4", 6'4". And I mean, so it's a matter of who plays well, who plays better defense, who's shooting the ball better. You just don't know. And so that's the whole thing. It's so kind of frustrating when I can go out there and show them, do this thing and everything, but I'm not shooting the ball. I got to hope that my guys play well. I mean, that's, you know, and if somebody's not, I got to be ready to go put somebody else in and hope that he's going to play well. I mean,
I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to see you tomorrow. And I'm sure there's tickets available. The Big Three is here in the Bay Area. Your game is at 3 p.m. Super stoked to watch it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it myself. And one of the great things of coming back, although I'll miss out because I won't see my newest granddaughter, Brooklyn, but I will see my son and his beautiful wife, Ruby, and get a chance to see him and two of my grandkids. I think my granddaughter, Lauren, and grandson is going to come, Grant, and get a chance to see them tomorrow. So that's always a good part about doing it. And we'll be talking beforehand and we'll talk about it more, but hopefully I'll see some people at the pickleball event that the Warriors are having on July 12th and 13th.
Where's the event? Is it Chase Center? Is that where they're playing?
I think it's the Chase Center.
Wow. Good stuff. All right. And people can follow you on social media to say if they want to learn more about this stuff at Rick24Barry, no matter what the platform is, that's where you're at.
All righty. Take care, everybody. See you, Cyrus.
See you, Rick. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.